Now it's maple syrup sugaring season. It takes gallons of sap from a maple tree to make a bottle of the maple syrup you have in your fridge. We're in the midst of syrup season in Wisconsin, so we're going to talk about how maple syrup is made. How does sap in a tree get turned into the stuff you pour on your pancakes? You can join in at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. Have you ever harvested and made maple syrup yourself? Are you doing it right now? Do you have advice for people who might like to try? And what is your favorite way to eat maple syrup? Do you have any recipes with it that you like to make? Call 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. Or post on the Ideas Network Facebook page. Casey Tate joins us for this week's edition of Food Friday, Curriculum and Instruction Manager at River Edge Nature Center in Saukville. Casey, thanks a lot for joining us today.
Thanks for inviting me to be here. It's a pleasure.
Casey, before we get into maple syrup, tell us a little bit about the River Edge Nature Center and what you do there apart from the maple syrup.
Sure. River Edge Nature Center has been a nature center located in Saukville, Wisconsin. We've been around since 1968, so we just celebrated our 50th anniversary a couple years ago. And it's from its inception, it's been a nature center focused on educating people around Southeast Wisconsin about the natural world. I've been there for about 2.5 years. I'm the curriculum and instruction manager, so I teach a lot of classes. I help write curriculum for some of the programs that we do here at River Edge. So we have a lot to offer. We have family programs. We have started a charter school this year, so it's K through 5th, with kids coming here every single day. School programs, homeschool programs, there's a lot going on. So it's been a really exciting season. And now with maple sugaring going on, it's gotten just a little bit busier, but in a good way.
Yeah, you do a lot of maple syrup. Can you talk about what's going on there?
Yeah, so now we've been tapping our trees since the very end of February. We tap around 400 trees at River Edge. And so this is a long-standing tradition that we've had. We've been doing it since we started. And so we'll tap about 100 trees with some of our students, and we make a lot of maple syrup that we sell in our gift shop and to local areas. And yeah, it's a great opportunity for people to learn about this longstanding tradition that's been done by people in Wisconsin for lots of years.
Yeah, can you talk about what it's like for that the first timer, maybe that kid who's working on the process from the tree to boiling it down and more? What kind of things do they learn along the way?
Yeah, I think one of the most surprising things to learn, especially for kids, a lot of kids, unfortunately, they have a disconnection where their food comes from. You know, you ask them where maple syrup comes from and they say the grocery store, you know, to connect them to the idea that it comes from a tree and the process that it takes to go about collecting it. So when a kid comes to River Edge, we take them through some of the traditions, going back to, Native American traditions with the Ojibwe and Potawatomi of the area, going on to how pioneers changed some of those practices, and then moving on to our modern practices today, and they learn how to tap into a tree. They learn how long it takes to turn that sap into syrup. We make some tools by hand that they can take home with them so that if they want to tap at their house, they're able to use some of those tools. And really get a sense of some of the, and then of course they get to try some syrup. And years past, where they had, we've been able to do pancakes with our syrup. This year, they're just getting a taste of syrup, in their own special way. We sometimes give out little prepackaged candies, but they still get to taste that little bit of sweetness for spring.
And now I saw you give away those kits, and you also, I think, in your gift shop, sell some home kits. I think you call them micro maple syrup kits. Now, I've got a couple maple trees out there. I don't know, do they all produce the sap I can make maple syrup out of? Can I walk up to any maple and start the process?
Yeah. So, I mean, all trees have sap, right? But sugar maples are really the tree that you want to be looking for. You can tap other maple trees. There are other species of maple trees like red maples, Norway maples, black maples. There's even other kinds of trees that have been known that people have collected sap to make syrup with, in particular birch trees, basswood, hickory, sycamore. But sugar maples are what you're looking for because they are renowned for the highest amount of sugar in their sap. So even though 3% doesn't seem like much, it's usually around maybe 2, maybe up to 3%. It's far higher than any other kind of a tree. So by tapping a sugar maple, you're saving yourself a little bit of time and work in converting that sap into syrup.
It's Food Friday. We're talking about maple syrup with Casey Tate from River Edge Nature Center in Saukville. And you can join in at 800-642-1234. Let's go to your calls now. Michael is with us in Kaukauna. Michael, hi.
Hey, thank you for being there. I appreciate it. It's a wonderful subject. It's been in my family for about 4 generations, and there is no poor use for maple syrup in a sweetening world. One of our favorites is vanilla ice cream with maple syrup on it rather than chocolate. But any place use a sweetener. Your breakfast cereal in the morning, your unsweetened cereal is better for you, like a good brand cereal. Just a little bit of maple syrup on it is just better than anything else in the world. So any place you'd use sugar or another sweetener, use syrup. It's a great, great thing. So thank you so much for your show.
Oh, hang on, Michael. I want to ask you. So I've had maple as a glaze on pork and some other things. You've been in maple syrup a long time. Is there anything you like to cook with it?
You don't tell my dad this, but I used to make beer, and I used it as part of an antigen in beer.
Ooh.
And, instead of using, you can use honey or other things to change the flavor. You don't change the maple. You don't taste the maple in the beer. Anytime you cook with maple and you increase heat, like people try to make cookies with it, the maple flavor doesn't come through. So it's best straight up being used, like you say, in a maple glaze, but even that, it can lose its flavor. Well, that's why it's just better on any kind of unsweetened cereal, ice cream, or any place you'd use sugar. It's better for you.
Excellent.
It's more digestible and adds a wonderful flavor that's above and beyond, you know, pure sugar.
Michael, thank you so much for sharing your experiences there. Casey, do you have a favorite way to consume maple sugar, traditional or a little more unusual?
Yeah, so here at River Edge, we actually have a funny tradition. We, of course, we cook up those pancakes and we put maple syrup with it, but we also have a little side of pancake on there. And I don't know exactly where this originates. I think it might be related to some of the German immigrants of the area. But you wouldn't think that the two flavors would mix necessarily, you know, kind of sweet and sour, but it works, and it's actually surprisingly really good. And going along with what Michael said, he was talking about some of those health benefits, and that's true. You know, compared to some of those other sugars that you might find, maple sugar in particular, or maple syrup, has a high amount of zinc, it has manganese, it has potassium, thiamine, iron, calcium, and it's got these nutrients in there that you might not find in some other sugars that you use in your cooking.
Interesting. And that sweet and sour, I have a beverage I like that includes lemon and maple and a potent third ingredient. And the lemon and maple works really well together.
Oh, yeah. I have not tried that, but I'm very curious now.
It's a surprise to me. Let's go back to our callers now at 800-642-1234. Robert is with us in Amherst Junction. Robert, hi.
Hi. Yeah, I'm sitting here boiling right now up on my garden. I've got a pan steaming like crazy, and it's not maple sap. It's box elder sap.
Oh, so what does that end up? Is that sweet like maple?
Yes, box elder is in the maple family, and for over 20 years, you know, I don't have any maple trees, but I have a ton of box elder trees around this old retired dairy farm, and I tap them, and I make syrup every year.
Interesting. Robert, thanks a lot for sharing that with us. Casey, do you just actually tap the actual sugar maples at River Edge, or do you diversify a little bit like Robert does?
Yeah, and he's right. You know, you can tap other trees that are. It's not every tree has a little bit of its own distinct flavor. So we have mainly tapped sugar maples here. However, I know in the past we have tapped birch trees as well, and so that's another common option as an alternative to sugar maples.
Thanks a lot for the call, Robert. Gary joins us next in Brookfield. Gary, hi.
Hello. I'm boiling sap also right now, and I boil it on my 3-burner camping stove. What my question is, at what point should I boil it to 219, 218? I've been doing it for 4 years, and if you don't watch it, it boils over, and you don't have any maple syrup, by the way.
Oh, no. Gary, thanks for the call. I don't know if you have that specific a level of advice. Casey, any thoughts?
Yeah, so 219 is kind of that magic number where you're supposed to take it off. It can be tricky because you don't want it to go too much over that. So usually for us, you know, here at River Edge, or if you're cooking at home, you really want to watch that temperature. And even before it gets to 219, as it gets to 216, 217 degrees Fahrenheit, you might want to transfer it to a smaller pan, or continue cooking over the kitchen stove where you can more monitor that temperature. And you can also add a little bit of butter or cream, which can keep the boiling syrup from bubbling over. So those are my recommendations. Yeah, it is a tricky measurement, but there's a couple things to help.
Gary, hope that helps. Now, this is a pretty precise temperature measurement, Casey. What am I using to monitor my temperature with here?
Yeah, so if you want to be exact, we do recommend using more of a candy thermometer, which you can get from various different places. And so the sap boiling temperature, when the sap boils, it boils at a higher temperature than the water boils. So you really want to get it right around 219 degrees. There are some more non-exact ways to do it. There's something called the blob test, where basically you take a spoonful of the boiling fluid and you dip it into a bowl of cold water. And if it forms a blob and then sinks to the bottom, you know that you've created that syrup. So it's kind of a non-exact form of way of doing it, but it still works.
I like the name, too, the blob test. It is Food Friday. We're talking about maple syrup. Casey Tate is with us, instructor at River Edge Nature Center in Saukville, and you can join in at 800-642-1234 with your maple syrup experiences if you've tapped and processed maple syrup in the past or right now, or your favorite ways to cook and or eat with it. 800-642-1234 is the number. You can also post on the Ideas Network Facebook page. We'll pick up the conversation coming up on Central Time. You're listening to Central Time on the Ideas Network. I'm Rob Ferret. We're picking up our Food Friday talk with River Edge Nature Center instructor Casey Tate. She's telling us about maple syrup, how it goes from tree sap to a delicious breakfast or lunch or dinner treat or drink. You can join in at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. Back to your calls now. Sharon is with us in Willard. Sharon, hi.
Hi. I take a venison roast and I liberally sprinkle Chinese five spice on, or any other hot pepper like cayenne or anything. And then I slow cook that. And then towards the end, like the last half hour to an hour, I'll put maple syrup on top. So you have the spicy venison with your maple syrup, so it offsets the heat. But you can do any cut of meat you want. You could cube it and do the same thing, and you have the same result.
And Sharon, you're just adding the maple syrup in the last, you said, half hour to an hour, so it doesn't cook too long and it doesn't lose that maple-y flavor. You still taste the maple?
So it doesn't burn on the bottom of the pan.
Oh, that too. That makes sense. Sharon, thanks a lot. That sounds delicious. Maple syrup and venison, Casey, bringing together a couple of Wisconsin traditions there.
That's right, yeah. I haven't heard of that, but it sounds amazing.
Yeah, do you and your colleagues there experiment with glazes for grilling with maple syrup, or does it all get used up for the breakfast type foods?
We use it mainly for our breakfast, and also for, you know, we sell it here at our gift shop, we also make sap tea for some of our special events and whatnot. But we don't do a lot of cooking experimentation here at River Edge. And now I'm just writing down some of these ideas that some of you are calling. Probably going to try some of them out a little bit later.
That sounds really good. Back to your calls. Thank you, Sharon. Sarah joins us next in Trumbull County. Sarah, hello.
Hello. I just wanted to make a comment. My husband's in the mix of cooking the sap right now. And he's been doing it for several years. And this year he made a reverse osmosis. And it has drastically cut down the cooking amount of time to get it to the right 218 degrees. And I just wanted to say that if you ever have time to make one or even purchase one, it does benefit the cooking process.
Interesting, Sarah. Thanks a lot. I've never heard of that reverse osmosis sap processing, Casey.
Yes, I have heard of that. There are lots of unique processes to sort of cook the sugar or bring or cook the sap, I should say, or bring out some, even for to bring out the sap from the tree. And the process has changed over time, as you might imagine. And the really interesting thing is that's sort of what is happening within the tree. There's sort of this high pressure built up inside of the tree, and as you cut into it, it's drawing out that sap into the low pressure air surrounding it.
Thanks a lot for that call. And the idea, Danny joins us next in Muskego. Danny, hi.
Hi. I've been doing home maple syrup making for a number of years. I had four trees, now I've got three, but they're pretty good size ones. I've been having difficulty with filtering because it seems like when I use the pre-filters or cheesecloth or coffee filters, it doesn't really, you know, and I can get it through and it'll look perfectly clear. And then if I put it in bottles and then boil it in for, you know, for sterilizing, whatever, for long-term storage, it then still gets the sand in it that goes mostly to the bottom. And, I mean, as far as getting it to syrup, by the way, the best thing that I found for finding the moment of it is to use a hygrometer, which I will do even though I'm only boiling off maybe three, four. I'm finally getting three or four cups of syrup per time that I do the boiling. Because then you can get it right on. And, you know, I double-check it with the sheeting off the spoon test, and it's like, much more reliable than the thermometer method that I was using. And I was even using two thermometers at a time, and it just, I was missing the syrup point until I got the hygrometer.
Danny, thanks a lot for sharing that. But Danny's question about filtering, any thoughts for her, Casey?
Yeah, so it's very common for sugar sand to occur as you're going through that filtering process. And really you want to look at the temperature of the product when you're filtering it. You know, you don't want your finished product to look cloudy or hazy. So you really want, when you're filtering, you want that temperature to be around 180 to 190 degrees Fahrenheit. Because if your syrup is hotter than that, it can, when it passes through the filter, you can have more buildup of that sugar sand, and you might have to refilter it. So the hygrometer might work, definitely works, but also the temperature as you're filtering.
Thanks a lot. Hope that helps. We're talking to Casey Tate from the River Edge Nature Center in Saukville, talking about maple syrup season, processing maple syrup and or eating it. Back to your calls now at 800-642-1234. We've got Linda with us in Madison. Linda, hi.
Hi. I've tapped a black walnut tree, and got a couple cups of syrup and then cooked it down in the house, which turns out not to be a very good idea because you just have water just coming down the windows and the walls. And it ended up with syrup that tasted quite good.
Interesting.
And then after that, since I didn't want to do that cooking it down anymore, I and my neighbors, we just used it for making coffee and tea, and it just made it a little sweeter and
interesting.
It was good.
Linda, thanks a lot for that. I've never heard of black walnuts. As you say, all trees have sap. Have you heard of people using that, though, Casey?
Yeah, I've made ink with black walnut, mostly, you know, from the nuts and, you know, the different processes. But, all trees have sap, so you can definitely make it from a black walnut. Like I said, the sugar maple has the highest amount of sugar, so it takes a little bit less effort. But as, you know, many trees have different properties, you can get different flavors. So I'm very curious to know what black walnut syrup tastes like.
Thanks a lot for that call, Linda. Well, Casey, obviously our listeners have a lot of expertise in doing this. For somebody who's more like me, though, if I said, okay, I'm going to try to tap and process maple syrup in my own home, how big a chore is this really?
You know, it's a little bit of a chore, but the sweet product at the end, you know, makes it worth it. Like you had mentioned at the very beginning, it takes quite a lot of sap to make a little bit of syrup. Usually it's, if you have about 2% sugar in your sap, it can take about 40 gallons of sap to make 1 gallon of syrup. So it takes quite a lot of cooking. And like the last caller mentioned, you probably want to do that cooking outside. You're going to make a lot of steam that's going to go up into your kitchen. So if you have an outdoor grill or a fire that you can make outside, that's going to help. And, you know, if you're new to this, it's quite, you know, you don't need as many huge expensive tools as you might imagine. Here at River Edge, this year we've actually been selling micro tapping kits or micro sugaring kits. And it comes with a bag, it comes with a cover, it comes with a spile, and sort of a guide to help you get introduced into this whole process, what's happening, when to tap, and when to do what. And so it's really been quite popular this year as everyone's learning a lot of new skills in quarantine and, you know, learning a lot of self-reliance skills, and it's been really great. There's not a whole lot that you need. It just takes a bit to cook it all down.
We'll have to leave it there. Thanks to Casey Tate from the River Edge Nature Center in Saukville. Keep sharing your maple syrup stories on the Ideas Network Facebook page.